The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Boom, 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 boom,
Adam Schefter is going to join us here in a couple of minutes, all right? So he's making time for us. And he's the one that started all this with his tweet about, you know, in regards to the Athletic article today where it says that he basically wants out of Seattle. Adam Schefter talked to his agent, and he said that that he still would prefer to play in Seattle, and he is not demanding a trade. But if he were to be traded, he would only go to four teams, and those four teams include the Bears. It would be the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears. So Adam Schefter is going to join us here in a couple of minutes, and I have something from Over the Cap, too, regarding what a deal would look like coming up here, Waddle. But what are your thoughts overall on the day for the people who are just joining us with this news?
I'm thrilled that the Bears made the final list of teams that Russell Wilson would be willing to be traded to. I find it still highly unlikely that he will be traded. I can't imagine a scenario where John Schneider and Pete Carroll feel that they're better off now or in the next couple of years without Russell Wilson. I think this is Russ flexing his muscles a little bit, and rightfully so, and would like a little input into certain things. And my guess is that they will find some common ground. But if they don't, I'm thrilled that the Bears are on the list. I just, like, call me crazy that while I'm thrilled, I'm still a little bit surprised.
Right. Many people have called the show while we've had the Watson conversation, and now it's veering to Russell Wilson on why would someone want to come to Chicago without the offensive line, without the weapons, an aging defense, a team that's 8-8,
a general manager and a coach, room. Both, right. And you know, in a precarious job security situation.
Whatever it is, and Shefty will expand on this here in a minute or two. Russell Wilson does have the Bears on his list of. He has a no trade clause. And of the four teams that he would approve a trade to, the Bears are one of them. Hmm. And maybe that's just the limelight of Chicago, the history of the Bears. And I'm not even saying the great history of the charter franchise. Maybe the history of the Bears that they've never had a quarterback, that you could be a pioneer here, mm-hmm. that this is a city that is starving and would absolutely worship a quarterback like this, who still has a lot of good years of football. He's 32 now.
We basically also kind of brushed over what the cost in terms of a salary cap hit the Seahawks would endure if they did this. Maybe Shefty has some more specific facts on those numbers, because that's got to play into the decision by the Seahawks as well. Like, this is different than Carson Wentz, like as you mentioned earlier. The Philadelphia Eagles were willing to absorb the greatest salary cap dead money hit of any team in the history of the league because they wanted to move on. I don't see that being the case in Seattle.
All right, let's bring him in right now. He gave us a layup topic for the day, that's for sure. Adam Schefter joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Schefty, how you feeling today? Thank you for the time.
Well, first of all, I'm very glad to hear that you're doing as well as you are, Sylvie, and that's the most important news of the day. Congratulations, and keep up the good fight, and love to hear that, and keep working along.
Yeah, and I appreciate the friendship. You've been such a good friend to this radio station for all the years that we've been on. Let's talk about Russell Wilson. We were just surprised to hear that the Bears are a team that he would consider. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Look, he's got a no trade clause. So if the Seahawks were willing to trade him to a team and they wanted to trade him to, say, the New York Jets, he could say, I don't want to go to the New York Jets. But he has the Bears on his list of teams that he would be willing to go to. I don't know why that is. Obviously, you know, he's not happy with the offensive line protection in Seattle. He's not happy with the way some of the things have been done there. But he is open to going to Chicago. I didn't help him make the list. So I can't say why the Bears are on it and other teams aren't. I just know that they are. And so that if the Bears struck a deal with the Seahawks, Russell Wilson would happily accept his walking papers to the Windy City.
Chef D, do you know the like the ins and outs of the numbers of what Seattle would be staring at in terms of a salary cap hit if, in fact, they did make a deal, whether it was to Chicago or Dallas or elsewhere?
$39 million day cap hit. Wow. And ordinarily, I would say, well, no way a team could do that, except the Eagles just did Carson Wentz to the tune of about 33, and the Rams did Jared Goff for 22. And so I don't know the machinations of how you would make that work or not make that work, but look, one thing I've learned with these teams is you can figure out a way to do anything if it's important enough. And nobody wants to carry a cap charge that big. Nobody ever does. But, you know, I'm trying to think, like, of those teams, when you're making a deal like this, you've got to be getting back somebody to replace your guy, I would think, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know how Dallas offers that because Dak is not under – contract, and he'd have to sign off, and I don't know how he feels about going to Seattle. Vegas could include Derek Carr. That's interesting. New Orleans doesn't have somebody, and Chicago doesn't have somebody. So who's New Orleans, or who's Seattle getting to play quarterback in a potential Russell Wilson trade to those teams that would make it work? Who are they getting?
That's a great question, and I was going to ask you, listen, The Deshaun Watson Houston situation is beyond bad. How do you read the situation with Russ in Seattle?
Well, the truth of the matter is it's a dance that's gone on for a period of time here. Okay? Like, the Seahawks were scouting quarterbacks, and by the way, they should be, right? But why were they so interested in Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, some of these other quarterbacks? Why'd they do as much work on them at a time where Russell's contract was coming up, maybe just to be prepared, maybe in just in case they decided to move on from him? So, look, I want to be very. I think this is a two-sided thing. This is not just Russell Wilson. Okay, it's complicated. I think there's layers to this. I think that it's something that definitely bears watching. I think they're headed there. Own separate ways. I don't know whether that will be this offseason or next offseason, but I think it's, you know, it's getting more difficult to think that Russell Wilson is going to play his career in one city the way that many all-time great players have.
So you think a separation here in the next year or two is very possible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do think that is possible in the next year or two. I think it's possible this offseason. Not likely, but possible. And it's certainly possible next offseason. And yes, so the next, you give me two more offseasons? Yes, definitely.
Because, Shefty, I thought with the Watson stuff, the way you painted it, that, and there are lots of great reasons for why he wanted out. And I remember last year when you told everybody and people didn't want to listen to you in October about Tom Brady, and you're like, look, he's open to going somewhere else. You knew, you were all over this. I felt like the Russell Wilson story was more like him and his date got into an argument in a bar, and we were the ones he was trying to make his girlfriend jealous with. That, like, he's using us to make the current, the person he's with jealous. But you think this is more than just that. He's not just doing this to get what he wants.
He's got Sierra. He doesn't care to make you jealous.
Well played, Shefty. Well played. Well played. I will build on what Sylvie had to say, Shefty. How much of what some of these fantastic, accomplished quarterbacks, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or it's Russell Wilson, how much of what we're seeing right now is guys looking at what Tom Brady did, as you predicted was possible, went, created his own situation where he could dictate policy in some ways and found success and happiness instantaneously?
You know, that seems to have become a narrative out there in the media. I just don't buy it. I'm not buying it. I don't think Russell Wilson looks at Tom Brady and says, I want to be like him. I don't think the Chicago Bears look at the Buccaneers and say, they got Tom Brady. I go back to this. Where were all these teams when Tom Brady was free? You didn't have to trade anything. You just signed him off the street. And basically two teams wanted him, the Chargers and Buccaneers. That was it. Okay? So I just think, that's what we saw this offseason. It worked out great for Brady and the Bucs. This is a different offseason. This is an offseason unlike any other that we've seen in NFL history, where there will be more quarterback movement this offseason than maybe any offseason in NFL history. You've got big names like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. We've already seen the number one and number two picks of the 2016 NFL draft be traded, and the NFL new league year doesn't begin until March 17th. We see another former number one overall pick, Matthew Stafford, trade. So basically, three players picked in the top two picks already traded, and now you're hearing all this talk about Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold. I mean, it's going to be a busy offseason. It always is.
Shefty, you know, you have two desperate guys who are in positions with the Bears right now, with Nagy and Pace.
Well, I thought we were going back to the bar now.
Sorry. Have you heard anything as to, like Lewis Riddick said to us, he believes the Bears are willing to do anything to get one of these big guys. Have you heard anything as to how big of a splash the Bears want to make with this quarterback move?
Well, let me just say this. It's very obvious. They don't have a quarterback. Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are two of the best players in the game. If they could get them, which would take a splash, why would they not try to get them? Like, it's all very logical.
Right.
There's nothing in there that's unique or newsworthy. Of course. And if you're going to trade for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, it's going to be a huge package. It's going to be beyond a splash. Okay? They don't have a quarterback, the Bears. The best they could do is one of those two guys. If they could get either one, why wouldn't they? If it cost them the Sears Tower, what does it matter? Trade that. Trade everything you can to get one of these quarterbacks. Doesn't matter. So, again, Lewis is brilliant. I love Lewis, but of course, it's obvious.
Yeah. I know you're busy. Thank you for your time. We appreciate you hopping on with us. All the best, Shefty.
Thanks, Shefty.
You got it, guys. Nice hearing it. Be well.
Thank you. There's Adam Schefter. So he tweeted earlier in the day, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. His agent Mark Rogers told ESPN, Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. You heard a lot there from Shefty, including that he is expecting the two sides to separate here in the next couple of years.
Yep.
Whether it's this offseason, he said it could happen, maybe not likely, but in the next year and the year after that, for sure, the way this thing is trending.
Yeah, and listen, I didn't think that the Patriots and Tom Brady would be silly enough to part company. So, I mean, and Shefty basically gave you a comparable presentation on this situation that, listen, it's more likely than not. That was my interpretation of what Adam said, that it's more likely than not that this is going to happen at some point.
Yeah, there are more skeptics out there. I want to read you a trade, a possibility, 332-3776. You just heard Adam Schefter. He has the news of the day. This is big, big news. This has resonated so much in Chicago that there are current Bears who are tweeting Russell Wilson about coming here to Chicago. As a Bears fan listening, do you guys believe that this is a realistic possibility? 332-3776. More on this next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Right? I mean, isn't that what Russell Wilson's asking right now? Should he stay or should he go? Seattle, the place. Seattle, they never lose. We went through the record earlier. Like, if he thinks he's seen some bad times or he's tired of being hit, the worst record he's ever had is 1-9-win season. That's the worst. Since, remember, he started right away. They were talking about it earlier today, and Carmen and Yurko, was they signed Matt Flynn and they drafted Russell Wilson. And I watched Russell Wilson. I'll never forget watching Russell Wilson a lot that final year when he transferred as the fifth-year senior from NC State to Wisconsin. And, like, Wisconsin for the first time had, like, a real playmaking quarterback, not just, like, the old Barry Alvarez quarterback. You know, where they just they
look. I think it's more possible today than I ever would have thought that some of these top-notch quarterbacks move on, and we've seen that. I just, my concern here as a Bears fan is that they don't have enough to offer the Seattle Seahawks to get Russ to Chicago. Maybe they, you know, like, look, Seattle, or the New Orleans is drafting behind us because they consistently have success.
Right.
But, like, they could offer
the Raiders,
you.
The Raiders have Carr, like he said, right, which would make it more intriguing for them.
Now, I mean, I would suggest to you that the New Orleans Saints have more on their roster of young players that they could deal that would draw the attention of John Schneider and the Seahawks. But, I mean, I just unfortunately, maybe it's just me being overly negative. I see us not competing for his services on a level playing field with some of the teams that are mentioned.
See, I don't know if it's that. Like, I don't truly believe that anymore. I believe that while our stuff at the top isn't as good as maybe some other teams, and here you're only competing with three other teams. And then, like you said, the Saints probably have less to offer, right? Unless they're
in terms of a draft pick, but like they could trade you. They've got more young, skilled, accomplished players than we
right.
do.
You want Alvin Kamara here, or, right? You know, is Michael Thomas under contract, or is he? He's under contract.
I believe he's
been not happy. I know he's had injury problems, but what I don't think is realistic. Nothing is unrealistic here. I mean, it's all realistic, like Adam Schefter said. Tom Brady left the winningest team for another city, mm-hmm. and he just won the Super Bowl. This whole stuff, weird stuff happens every day now in the National Football League. What I don't think is going to happen is I just don't think they're going to trade him. I just think it's too cost prohibitive for them with the dead cap money. I don't believe that in the end they're ready for this separation this year.
I'm with you. I mean, he's got 5 good years left in him, I would think.
I think those guys are desperate enough, like Lewis Riddick said, to offer whatever. I think Ryan Pace would get on the phone and say, what do you need? You pick. You order your own. This is a make your own deal. You make your own. Write it out. We'll approve it. And then we'll make it happen. I just don't believe. I think in the end, Russell Wilson returns there, plays another year for Seattle, works best for both. And if it's next year or the year after, then they part company.
Am I seeing this correctly that the Seahawks don't have a first-round draft pick?
Who did they give it up to?
I'm trying to think. Did they give that up for Clowney? Did they trade for Clowney at some point this
they
year?
They did, right? And then they lost him. And then they didn't re-sign him, right? Didn't he sign in Tennessee? And then he never played or something like that? Or
I'm just like, I don't know why I'm thinking.
They traded for,
oh, no,
Jamal,
for
Adams.
Jamal Adams. There you go. That's right.
First round draft pick.
That's right.
That's
Jamal
the
Adams.
Jets
there you go. The Jets
picks.
Have got the 23rd pick as well as the second overall pick. And you're right, Chris. That was the deal that brought them Jamal Adams.
That's weird where you trade for a safety and you get rid of your quarterback. You know what I mean? You give up multiple picks for a safety and you're gonna get rid of your Hall of Fame quarterback?
Stop at the safety part. Like Sylvie, you're right about give up your Hall of Fame quarterback. That's nuts. But like the fact that they made that move, first round picks for a safety.
And like he's great. And
certainly is. But we've talked about it. If the four of us are running a team, we put the value of a safety on our defense lower down the board than we do defensive ends, quarterbacks, wide receivers.
Yeah, he's
corners,
a fabulous player.
Inside tackles defensively.
For me, it's quarterback. It's the guys chasing the quarterback. So either an outside linebacker or a defensive end. It's your left tackle. It's your cornerback. It's your wide receiver. Like, I don't get to safety, even a great one like Jamal Adams, until like fifth, sixth, seventh down the list.
It's why the Eddie Jackson contract is weird.
Right.
So let me read you this. This is from the guy Jason at Over the Cap. It's another one of these websites that break down the cap and everything. It's a really good website. And they went through the four teams that Russell Wilson would approve a trade to: Oakland, Dallas, New Orleans, and the Bears. And that's option four, the Bears.
By the way, Las Vegas.
Oh, did I say Oakland again? Damn it. Las Vegas. Vegas, baby. Vegas. And here's what he said about the Bears. Option four, why it makes sense for Chicago. The Bears are desperate for a quarterback. The last 2 years, the team has trotted out Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles, and Chase Daniel as starters and amazingly backed into the playoffs this year. Wilson would give them such a huge boost to the position and likely position them to have the top quarterback in the division for the next 3 years, with Green Bay likely moving on from Aaron Rodgers at some point. Why it does not make sense for Chicago. The window in Chicago is pretty much closed at this point. The team is drafted poorly, and their better veterans are on the wrong end of the age curve. Trading for Wilson would basically force the team into a massive extension for Allen Robinson and lots of restructured slash extended contracts for players most teams would be looking at more as a one-year contributor rather than a long-term answer. This could very easily be a one-year push, then a salary cap disaster where they struggle even with the top quarterback. To be honest, I'm not even sure why Wilson would consider this situation. That's at Over the Cap. And then he goes on, what would it cost? Says, I guess they would send over Nick Foles as part of the deal, but that's a pretty low level. That's a pretty low-level starter. Their draft pick is in the same range as the Saints. They have number 20. So I think the cost is the same here with three first-round picks, which would basically put Chicago in a really tight situation with their cap.
I think the Saints could afford those three first-round picks because the Saints are going to be like the Rams. They're going to say, hey, this year's pick's 28. We're going to be 27, 28, 29. We've got good young talent. Take them. We'll take Russ off your hands. And I don't think the Bears can say the same thing and still feel good about their chances of playing at a high level.
Here's his closer. From the Seahawks' perspective, other than landing Prescott, I cannot come up with a reason for why Seattle would trade Wilson. They already paid him a lot of money and have a team that needs a quality quarterback right now. They might talk themselves into Carr if the situation got bad enough, but Foles and Hill would not even be remotely close to what they need. Seattle already mortgaged their future, and this is what we just talked about, to acquire Jamal Adams, and moving on from Wilson in almost every scenario would require a complete change in direction. So and then he goes on to say Seattle just needs to smooth over whatever hurt feelings there are. That's why I don't think it would happen.
I agree with you. I don't think this is anything like what's going on in Houston.
So, yes, in Houston you have a player who's going to refuse to play for them. He will not come back. I still think Russell Wilson can win a title.
They were 12-4 last year.
Yeah, they could win a title next year with the right moves. Daryl in Chicago Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm a diehard Chicago Bear fan. Ain't no way in the world. I don't care. Russell Wilson has everything he's got going for him. He's got the money. He's on a winning team. Why would you want to come to Chicago to be on a team coached by Matt Nagy with no wide receivers and no good coach? There's no way in the world. And listen, I just want to say this.
Daryl, it's already been declared that he would come here.
You know, I don't see why. I think he was just playing around. I can't. Let's be serious.
We asked the same questions. What is more appealing here in Chicago than what he's got in Seattle?
Well, let me just say this one thing. I saw something on ESPN right now. They gave a trivia question. They said that what team has never had a 4,000-yard passer, and it was the Chicago Bears. And they formed in 1920, and last year we had 11 quarterbacks that threw for over 4,000 yards, and the Bears had yet to never have a quarterback to throw 4,000 yards. I wonder why.
It's the only one, and we're the first team that started. The first team that started, and we don't have a 4,000-yard a fourth or a 30 touchdown passer in our history.
Listen, I had the same response that Daryl had is that like it. I'm thrilled that we're on his list, but I'm surprised.
Yeah, Ahmad in Chicago Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ahmad?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Well, I'm so a huge fan.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
And when news broke that he was interested in coming to Chicago, I was excited. But let's be honest, here, it's not realistic. I mean, we barely have any cap space. Seattle's missing a couple of key pieces on that defense, and they're legitimate contenders. So I don't know why. You know, it's also a passing league, and quarterbacks are hard to find. So I don't think they're going to part ways with Russell Wilson. I wish that was the case, but I don't think that this is going to happen. They're just missing a couple pieces on that defense, and they'll be back in the hunt for the Lombardi Trophy.
It's probably the way that's going to go, that they'll find a way to smooth it over. Pete Carroll and John Schneider are really good at what they do. Russell Wilson's really good at what he does.
I mean, if you're Seattle, don't you approach the offseason with trying to find an elite offensive tackle and maybe a tight end? But you try to appease the best player in your locker room.
Yes, 332-3776. There was a former Bear who did call this, who said that he was very unhappy before anyone wanted to believe this. I'll tell you who that is. And then at 4:45, we have What's at Stake? 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So, right after the Super Bowl, this became a story with Russell Wilson, and he went on the media tour and went on Dan Patrick. Did some other things. And then Brandon Marshall, I don't know if you saw this. You know, Brandon's doing really good stuff. Great interview show.
Wasn't he doing something with Ocho Cinco?
He's doing a bunch. Like, is that the I Am Athlete series? Is that the one with Ocho Cinco? I think he's doing a series called I Am Athlete or something like that. And they have a bunch of, he just had Cam on, too.
Yeah. And they talked about the greatest college football player they had ever seen. And I was very interested in that. I didn't see it all because I remember being the world's biggest Peter Warwick fan, wide receiver out of Florida State.
Me like, too.
Not only was he a fabulous receiver, he was maybe the most electric punt returner I'd seen in a long, long, long time. And I think he had a decent career with the Bucs. Wasn't he drafted by the Bucs? But like, I'm surprised his professional career wasn't better, because as a collegiate player, he was unbelievable.
Weren't they talking about Percy Harvin, though? Weren't they talking about him, too?
Yep.
It was about Cam Newton was saying, like, Percy Harvin, when he was at Florida,
yeah,
I want to say, that was
because that's
best.
Where Cam went first, right? Didn't Cam go to Florida and then went to junior college and then went to...
He told the story. So he told this story. Now it's coming back to me. He was telling Marshall the story that he's the backup quarterback or whatever, and he's got the headset in his ear because of that, so he could hear all the coaches talk. And they were basically flat or something like that. And they were saying on the headset, we got to get Percy Harvin the ball. They basically came up on the headset with a play in the sand. You know, they diagrammed a play like you would in the backyard to get him the ball. And he said Percy Harvin, 70 yards later, was down the field and scored a touchdown. It was so anyway, Marshall's doing a bunch of stuff. And he was saying, this was several weeks ago, that remember, he had a cup of coffee in Seattle. I don't know if you even remember that.
I do.
He was saying that Russell Wilson is mad there. He is upset. He wants out. And all this now continues to go that way. It's all surprised me. It would still surprise me, even with what's being reported on The Athletic and what Schefter is saying.
But I'm not so surprised, because you would assume then that every situation in every town is hunky-dory. Like, I don't think that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were always – I don't think Tom Brady was always happy there, but as long as you're winning and you're getting to the top of the mountain and you have some say, you coexist. So, like, I'm not completely dumbfounded that this situation may have bubbled to the surface in Seattle.
Okay. All right.
I'm not. I mean, like, I can see that. Like, we've all known that Aaron Rodgers has been upset at times in Green Bay, right?
Well, but that was a pretty – wasn't that more of an obvious thing? Here he is. He's a – they win the division. They go to the NFC Conference Championship game. And then they need to add to win a championship. And with a first-round pick, they instead of helping him, they trying to replace him.
But it's the same story in Seattle, isn't it? That, like, Russ gets sacked 50 times a year, and they keep winning and going to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, they never truly solidify that offensive line and help him out.
They haven't drafted his replacement, though. They've mortgaged the future with Jamal Adams.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Schefter did say that they have worked out multiple quarterbacks. That's always made him feel a little weird.
Yeah, that's something that I mean, look, you've got that. You'd be not doing your due diligence, and you would be negligent as a general manager if you're not always. Injury could always creep into the equation. If you're not investigating and evaluating the most important position in football, even when you have a Hall of Famer on your roster, then, like, I don't know that you're doing your job right as a GM.
File this away. You want to file something away?
File it away.
You want to file this away in your stupid meter? Think about this, that while they had Russell Wilson in Seattle, you just heard Schefter say this, that John Schneider is working out, what, Josh Allen and who else?
Patrick Mahomes.
They're working out Patrick Mahomes and
Josh Allen.
And Josh Allen. Yeah. When they have Russell Wilson and Ryan Pace would not even work out to Deshaun Watson.
Is this Carmen?
While he was searching for a quarterback.
Carmen, is that you?
Yeah. Think about how, the lunacy there. He's got Russell Wilson in there working out Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Ryan Pace, while he has the third overall pick, I'm good over here. I don't need to see the best collegiate player. I know he just beat Alabama. I don't need, don't need a private workout. Don't need it. I got my Sun Bowl dude. He's over here.
My Sun Bowl
He's
dude.
Trubisky. Got Trubisky over here. Tim on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, buddies. First of all, man, I want to say I love you guys' show, man.
Thank you.
And yeah, and the second thing is, all the Bears fans, the diehard Bears fans calling in and saying Russell Wilson won't work. I don't think that's true because they always say great players make other players around them better. So if that's true and that's proven to be true, Russell Wilson can make our wide receivers better. He'll make our linemen block. He'll make the defense play better. So I think it's a good idea to go after Russell Wilson, man, because that's the best. That's the best out there to me. I love Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. I mean, look, you start with fixing your quarterback spot, and then you
exactly
fix the other places on your offensive line, and you help with receivers. But none of that really matters if you don't get the most important position correct.
George,
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, George in Naperville. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Yes, I know one of the callers called in and was negative about Wilson, but I think it's a great fit. Other than his Super Bowl trophy, his Walter Payton Award this year, Wilson's such an outstanding person that he would be a great fit here. And our three first-round draft picks are as good as New Orleans. And throw in Quinn or somebody on the defensive side, if that's all Seattle needs is one or two players, you could work out a deal. It would be great for all parties.
Well, you're right. Our first-round picks would be more attractive because we're drafting 20 at this point, and New Orleans is drafting 28. And, you know, if that trend would continue, I mean, I don't see New Orleans going away.
Who's playing quarterback for them, though? I mean, I guess you can draft one with multiple picks, but who's playing quarterback?
I'm not sure. Maybe they're in the market. Seriously. Maybe they're in the market. Maybe they're in the market for one of these deals.
Who, Seattle?
No. You said, I thought you were talking about New Orleans.
No, I'm saying, who's Seattle playing at quarterback?
Yeah, they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Their backup is Geno Smith, right? Wasn't Geno Smith their backup this year?
Yeah, like how are they going to get we don't have a quarterback to even offer them.
Well, that's why anybody, look, a team like the Raiders makes sense because they could send Derek Carr in a deal. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Cowboys signed Dak, they could send Dak in a deal. Like, I don't know why. I mean, like, some of it may not make sense, but at the end of the day, you don't have anyone to send to them as a quarterback.
Right. Exactly.
And the 20th pick.
Don in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Don?
Guys, I don't understand why we want to give away draft picks. We have Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is a great player. I love him. But our defense isn't really getting any better. It seems to be getting worse every year. Could we give somebody up like Khalil Mack for Russell Wilson without losing any draft picks and keeping some of the draft capital that we have?
Don, I don't think just players is going to do it because with Khalil Mack comes, he's 30, and what comes with him is, I think, the third largest contract defensive player has in the National Football League. So there's a price tag that comes with it.
And now they're the Bears with no quarterback and Khalil Mack and Jamal Adams. Right. Like, I mean, I look. I was fired up just that we were on this list to start the show. But the more we've talked about
Me and Izzy were having an argument about who the Bears would be best suited to have under center. Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. Like, it was the highlight of my week.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's a weird conversation to sit here and have, but the fact that we're having that conversation was...
So he's just happy he can get in the bar now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that right. All right, we need two contestants right now for what's at stake. We're going to play the Hawks game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Caller 20, you get the choice. So we're just going to pick the team, right? You get Columbus or the Blackhawks.
Yeah, money line play.
Money line play.
The Hawks and the BJs, you choose.
The Hawks just beat them in a shootout.
Blue Jackets.
They just beat them in a shootout two nights ago.
Like, I'm not going to dump you. But I'm going to give you a stern head shake.
Yeah, they're the Blue Jackets.
I understand.
Yeah. No, we know.
I understand.
God, all of a sudden, you guys straightened your spines and sat up in class and decided that everything was going to be, you know.
I'm just giving you a hard look.
We're trying to help you out.
I'm just giving
That's
you a hard look.
That's what we're trying
look.
To do.
Thank you.
I think he's just abbreviating. I don't think, out of a scale of one to Waddle, this is very low on the meter.
We don't call them the CBHs. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to watch the CBHs tonight. Chicago Blackhawks. Can't wait to watch
the
CBs tonight.
But that's not, you don't use the city's name as part of the.
Can't wait to watch the Bs tonight. Can't wait to watch those Bs tonight.
You don't use the city as part of, you call them the Bs. The Bruins are the Bs.
The Bruins are the Bs.
The Bulls are the Bs.
The Bears
are
the Bs.
Can't wait to watch my Cs this summer, guys, as Sylvie would say.
You could.
Can't wait to watch my Ss this weekend, guys.
I got you back on this one.
We got the first Ss game on the air this weekend, Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tune in, all you S fans.
I think with the proclivity for wanting to abbreviate everything in our society,
you just want to say the abbreviation.
I thought it would fit nicely in the trend that exists now.
You're a juvenile.
The desire to shorten everything and to abbreviate everything. I was just playing the game that all the good, cool kids are playing.
You're a juvenile. Admit it.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
but.
You.
There are many people whose name may be like Bob Jim Smith.
Yeah.
Go by BJ Smith.
Yes. There's no doubt.
You know, you didn't rip BJ Armstrong for going
BJ. No, you did not.
Why can't they be the BJ?
Thank you, Sylvie.
You know why?
Appreciate it.
Because BJ Armstrong hit it from the corner pocket.
He did. He
and they made noise.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
That was his shot. 332-3776. If you'd like to play What's at Stake, caller 20, you get your pick. You want the Hawks or do you want the BJs? Caller 40, you get that other team, the secondary team. And then whoever wins
will
get the gift
card. I'm speaking your language, brother.
There you go. And then also, there were shots fired at the show earlier. We'll play that coming up next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, What's at Stake is brought to you by our great friends at GT Prime. GT Prime is located at 707 North Wells Street. For more info, visit gtprimerestaurant.com.
What is GT short for?
I think Giuseppe Tintori,
okay,
their chef and partner.
Well done.
Yeah, because this is his second restaurant, and he's awesome. Rob Katz and Kevin Bame from the Boca Restaurant Group redefine the Chicago Steakhouse. They bring you GT Prime.
Is he still peddling the pasta making machine?
You know it. These guys are innovators. They're as good as anyone out there. They were named Restaurateurs of the Year about a year ago, and then they've had to adapt, and that's what they do. They adapt. Rob Katz and Kevin Bame are awesome. We
I just
play
got
for
an
a
email
gift card.
From them.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're doing Restaurant Week is coming, and Chicago Restaurant Week is always a huge thing, but because, you know, the limited seating capacity and that kind of stuff, they're making it available for carry out and delivery.
That's awesome. That's what they do. I mean, he is, you know, I talk to Kevin more than I talk to Rob. They're both awesome. But Kevin's just a leader. He's a leader in the community. He's a leader in the restaurant group. you know, he's been really at the forefront of getting help for these restaurants. All these, think about all the service industry people who are employed by restaurants that have been affected by them, by the pandemic.
Support local people.
Yes, and he's a huge advocate of getting more help. So check them out today at GT Prime. What did caller 20 decide with? They go with the Blackhawks, Abdallah?
Yes, Michael in Lakeview went with the Blackhawks tonight, and then caller 40, Matt got stuck with, I'm not saying it.
Who was it? Was it Matt or Mac?
Matt.
Because I heard Waddle called, did you guys catch this today? Waddle called Mel Kiper Mac today.
Because he was asking him a question about Mac Jones.
Oh, is that the ring?
Yeah. No. Mel Kiper finished talking about Mac Jones, Waddle said Mac to Mel, and then asked about Zach Wilson. See, I was listening.
Yeah,
I
had no idea.
I was listening to the
sometimes
interview.
My brain just
see Waddle. Don't
talks
act
itself.
Like I don't listen over here. That's
hey,
I
called Aaron Andrews Andrew
Blind Squirrel.
Once, okay, so I mean, I'm back.
I think one of our callers called him Mag Nagy earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mag.
Was that today?
Yeah, like 20 minutes ago. I laughed at it. It was good.
Maglio?
Listen, when you do this, you know, like try to have the consistent success. Like, you'll say sex quicker than that.
If someone actually thought about the amount of words that you two say in a day or we say in a day, like the thousands of words that we have to say correctly, we're going to mess up.
Call everybody
you.
Mac.
Well, and,
hey,
and
Mac. What's up, Mac?
I'll be honest. I'll pull the curtain back. We'll break down the fourth wall if we have to. After that Mel Kiper Jr. interview, Waddle had to sit on a park bench.
I did. Like, I mean,
I did. It was going too fast for him?
Yeah, it was like, listen, all of a sudden I'm talking about an offensive lineman at Clemson, and I got a running back from Purdue, and I'm like.
And then he's hanging up on us.
Yeah, I was just like, my brain was football fried. It put my brain in the football deep fryer.
Goes to his first progression. He's shredded wheats in the morning, but then you know when he's coming off the left side, he can really roll out really well. But then sometimes for lunch, he wants to double down on breakfast, so he has another bowl of shredded wheat for breakfast. And then, you know, when he's in the pocket, he can maneuver pretty quickly. And then for dinner, he enjoys, you know, he wants to get his protein in, so he's doing a little bit of chicken, maybe a little bit of salmon. And then he's really good in the locker room. Locker room guys love him. Locker room guys really love him.
Right, but there,
if,
I'm on the ground.
He's going
I'm
behind
on
the left tackle. He's on the left tackle. For dessert, sometimes
he
we'll go with a sundae. Sometimes we'll go with apple pie.
You even stumbled.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to do
he
it off
can't
the dome
stumble.
Here.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So if you missed the interview with Mel Kiper, anything you need that you may have missed, you can always download that ESPN Chicago app, easy access on-demand pods for all your favorite shows. And Cap and Jay Hood today, I did not hear this portion. I was on the phone. We were both today talking to Adam Johns for The Athletic for a story that he is writing here coming up. So I was on the phone with him, and I got a text message from my wife saying, first, Cap is bashing you, followed by a second text that said, now Danny is bashing you.
Like,
And then, Danny's my guy. So this is from Cap and Jay Hood earlier today.
Yeah, I was just made aware that they trashed us and bashed us for stealing Sebastian Maniscalco's bit about the doorbell.
I never saw that bit before.
Me either.
We didn't either. And we admitted we stole it from one of our bosses, the great Evan Cohn.
And I reached out to him and said, can we use this? He said, of course.
Yes, we admitted where we got it, but yet I guess what's being reported to me is they spent an entire segment bashing us and trashing us.
Well, what a shock.
So I'm not going to defend them anymore.
Morning,
I mean, that's just the wrong. If they want to bash Cap, that's one thing. But to bash Hoodie, Meller, me, and JR as well, that goes too far.
I love comedy specials. I hadn't seen that before until someone sent that to me. And
it was hilarious.
You never seen it either,
no.
Right? No, I'm the first to say, hey, this is a bit that we got from some so-and-so, or I heard this so-and-so, and then go into it. I had no idea that bit was even out there.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Sylvie doing something without really researching it? What a shock.
Especially the way he bashed us. What JR's doing is editing out every time he trashed a show and putting Evan Cohn's name in it, and we're sending it to Evan. Because Sylvie's the first guy to reach out to Evan to be like, Evan, everything you do is so great. I wish I could be more like you. Now taking
that's
those shots.
Shot.
Right.
Evan's going to hear about it.
And I reached out to Evan and said, hey, that's an awesome question. Can Hoodie and I steal that? He said, we're teammates. Of course you can. That's not stealing. Go right ahead. Take it for your own. And we even gave him credit.
It's still stealing.
Tommy was part of that too, by the way.
I didn't hear much, Waddle. See? He's America's sweetheart. He doesn't bash anyone. A lot of black.
There's a shock. A
lot of black.
See, me and Tommy try to stay out of the fray of these things.
Yeah. When's Black's Hall of Fame induction? 312-332-3776.
605.
My
605.
God. Yep. Keep working. We'll get programming done from 2 till 8 today.
Yeah, you don't even get programming done from 7 to 10 without stealing it. What are you talking about? Programming done from 2 to 8. Here's Cap. This is basically
what he
just said in 2 minutes.
By the way, I may have been jealous at 7. I don't know. I was sleeping.
At what?
He said morning show jealousy. I said, I may have been jealous at 7. I don't know. I was still sleeping in my bed.
Right. Basically, this is what he said. Hey, we didn't steal from Sebastian Maniscalco. We stole from our teammate Evan Cohn. Okay. I rest my case.
It's still stealing.
We're back at 2 short
minutes. Let me ask you a question real quick. Did they advertise it? Was there truth in advertising? Did they tell you, hey, we stole this from Evan Cohn before they presented it?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. But I didn't do my research on it. Maybe the people who steal stuff should do the better research.
Ouch.
We're back in 2 minutes. And I heard something preposterous on the sports front, too, that I want to bring up that happens to be. And this is the ultimate hypocrite that Cap is, saying we didn't steal from Sebastian Maniscalco. We stole from someone else. Then, literally a minute later, they bring up our poll question and start talking about it. And we'll tell you about that in 2 short minutes.